Hey, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much that you are awesome and you're big and you're incredible. And Lord, and we just worship you and we thank you for that, and that we have the opportunity to come and just exalt you and lift you up and to be reminded of how awesome and great and glorious and just majestic that you are. And Lord, I pray that as we begin to take a look at forgiving others and how much of a priority you want that in our life, Lord, I pray that you would bring to our heart and mind people we need to forgive, people who have hurt us or violated us or abused us or said things that just have created emotional and mental wounds in our lives. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us to be a people who are known to be forgivers of wrongs in our life. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, we are taking a look at forgiveness today. And we are in a little series while we're out here in the barn. And I mean, I know it's not a barn, but it just sounds better. I don't know why. It sounds cooler or something. I don't know. Instead of a shed, a workshop, where y'all meet at? Well, we meet in a barn, you know. But we've been taking a look at some things in the Bible that deal with first or priorities. And from time to time, the Bible will say, first of all, do this, or, you know, this is a first commandment or something of that nature. And so we're kind of looking at some things of that nature. For example, a couple of weeks ago, we took a look at our first love, or the first commandment, which says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And so we unpacked that, what that looks like, sounds like, feels like, when it comes to, you know, loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And then last week, we took a look at Matthew 20, where Jesus said, whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first, that's our theme, whoever wants to be first among you must become your slave. And so we took some time to examine what it means to really be first in the kingdom, or what, you know, what it means to be a leader in God's eyes and an influencer and a mover and a shaker. And we saw that it really takes two things, and that you got to have a servant's heart and you've got to have a slave mentality, meaning that you know who your real master is, but you are going to, you're all in blessing people and for the kingdom of God, and you're all in to doing things that most people would not want to do because it's too humbling. And so we took a look at that last week. So today we're going to take a look at what it means to forgive. Because look at what Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verse 25. If you have an outline, you'll find it very helpful. And every Sunday, well, one more Sunday. If you don't have one, they're over there. And then they'll be at our Welcome Center at the Y, I think. That is two Sundays away, right? We meet here one more Sunday, and then we're at the Y? Is that the right? Is that right? Okay. Yeah. I'm only the lead church planner. I don't know what's going on. Okay. All right. Mark chapter 11, verse 25. The Bible says this. But when you are praying, first, there's our theme, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Oh man, that's kind of heavy. I mean, Jesus just kind of dropped a bomb on us right there. I mean, because he's connecting us forgiving others and receiving the Heavenly Father's forgiveness. And so we're going to take a look at that later. But man, that's a big pill to swallow. So what I want to do is I want to just unpack forgiveness for a little bit, coming off of Mark chapter 11. And so the first thing I want you to see is forgiveness is to be a priority. It needs to be a high priority. Mark says, when you are praying, first forgive. Some translations don't use the word first, but they say something like, whenever you stand praying, forgive. But the implication is that one of the first things you want to do in your prayer life is to forgive others. I mean, when you start praying and you're just talking to the Heavenly Father, one of the checks you need to check in your mind and heart is, okay, am I holding a grudge against anybody? Do I need to forgive them? And forgiveness is to be a priority. Now, listen to the emphasis on forgiveness from God's Word. Listen to this. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5 says, I am not overstating it when I say that the man who caused all the trouble hurt all of you more than he hurt me. Most of you opposed him, and that was punishment enough. Now, however, it is time to forgive and comfort him. Otherwise, he may be overcome by discouragement. So I urge you now to reaffirm your love for him. So what Paul is saying in 2 Corinthians, forgive him, comfort him, don't discourage him, and reaffirm your love for him. Now, some of you have people in your life who have hurt you. And this is you're going to need to have that servant and slave mentality that we talked about last week. In order to forgive them, comfort them, not to discourage them, and then reaffirm your love for this person. Okay? Now, I know that some of you aren't there with whoever is in your life that has hurt you, but God's going to have to take you there. Because until you are able to do this, you're going to be a prison to your own grudge and your own bitterness. And there's no freedom there. Okay? And God wants you to be set free, as we sung. He wants you to have a jailbreak. You understand? And that bitterness and unforgiveness, that can be a prison for you. Colossians chapter 3, take a look at this. Make allowance for each other's faults. Okay, let's stop here for just a moment. You live in a world where people are not perfect. Okay, you understand that, right? Okay. Now, I know that you can look at your spouse and you can look at your kids and you can look at your boss and you can look at teammates and you can look at fellow employees and all that kind of stuff and say, you know what? If it were me, here's how I would do it. You know, and you would do it perfectly. But there's a point where you just got to look in the mirror and say, I got problems, everybody in my household's got problems, and everybody at Genesis Church got problems. We all messed up, okay, somehow, all right? We're going to offend people. You know, there are times where I'll shoot an email out, and I'm going, oh, man, that's going to offend somebody. I should have rewrote that. Or I don't respond correctly on the phone, or I don't say hi to you right, you know, at church or something, people just get offended by all kinds of crazy stuff, you know. So you're going to offend people. People are going to offend you. But the Bible says here, make allowance. Go ahead and make a decision right now and say, you know what, people aren't perfect, and you know, I'm just going to have to overlook a bunch of junk that's just, you know, they don't mean anything by it, you know, because here's the reality. There are some folks who are just way too sensitive. You understand what I'm saying? All right, David. All right. So there's some folks who just, they get easily offended. And if that's you, you're the problem. Okay, and so, I mean, just, you have to realize this. So he says here in Colossians, make allowance for each other's faults, and forgive anyone who offends you. Wow. Remember, the Lord forgave you. So follow his example and forgive those in your life. That's what he's saying. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. He's just simply saying, look, make this thing a priority. Ephesians 4, 31. Get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you. So instead of reacting with bitterness and rage and anger and wanting to bite somebody's head off, you know what I'm saying, or just getting the last word in there, or just poking them one more time, you know, no, just be tender, forgive, you know, make this thing a priority and work on this. So all I want you to see is that this is something significant in the Bible. Now, here's the thing. When you're reading the Bible and you see where God says do this or don't do this, and he says do, don't, and it's kind of the same theme running over and over, God already knows that we struggle with this. We struggle with forgiving others. You know, we struggle with letting things go and moving on in some way. And so God is telling us over and over again, because we need to hear it over and over and over again, to forgive. It's got to be a priority. So now this brings us to number two. Forgiveness has no boundaries. Now here's where it's going to get tough. Back in Mark says, forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against. All right, now let me give you three thoughts about this no boundaries to forgiveness. First of all, forgiveness has no boundaries when it comes to the person. Forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against. I mean, anyone. Now, the Greek meaning, I'm going to give you something deep here, alrighty? So pay attention. The Greek meaning, the technical meaning, the literal and deep spiritual meaning of this word, anyone, are you ready? Is anyone. Did you just get your mind blown away by that? Yeah. Oh, right. Here's the thing. This means, now stay with me. No matter who, no matter what they did, no matter what they did, you're going to have to forgive them. Okay, now I know I'm looking at 100 plus people here. And some of you have been hurt greatly by some people in your life. I mean, they have violated you. And if it was up to you, you'd kill them if you could get away with it. Man, you don't want to be there. That's dark. That's a dark place. That's a prison. And God wants to set you free. And the key to that freedom, away from that bitterness and away from that anger and away from that rage, the key is called forgiveness. Okay? And we'll talk more about what that is in a moment. But no boundaries when it comes to the person. Number two, forgiveness has no boundaries when it comes to the offense. And I've already mentioned this. Mark says, forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against. Now listen to it. You might have the right to hold a grudge, but you don't have to hold that grudge. And God is saying, look, I'm telling you the best path for you today. God is saying the right path, the best path, the most functional, healthy, abundant life path is to offer forgiveness, give forgiveness, have the attitude of forgiveness, and just let go of that grudge. Let it go. See, a grudge is a feeling. It's an emotional thing. A grudge is a feeling of resentment and anger and bitterness towards someone for something that they've said to you, something they've done to you, something they should have said or something they should have done, and they didn't do it, and you're holding that grudge. So you can hold a grudge towards your parents. You can hold a grudge toward your fellow employee or student. You can hold a grudge towards your spouse, to your kids. I mean, you could be having a grudge towards somebody in this room today. God says, look, you forgive anyone that you're holding on to that grudge against. Because here's the thing. If you're holding on to a grudge, what's really happening is that grudge is holding on to you. And you have become the prisoner of that thing. And you may say, no, man, I'm good with it. Don't worry about it. No, you're not good with it. And we are concerned for you. Because the Bible makes it very clear that the path to joy, real joy, is not the path of holding a grudge. Keeping that bitterness all boiled up inside of you. And got to let it go. Now, God's word doesn't say forgive anyone you're holding a grudge against unless they did this or that. You can hold a grudge there and that's okay. No. Anyone, anything you're holding a grudge against. Okay? Third boundary. Forgiveness has no boundaries when it comes to the amount of forgiveness. Now, listen to what Jesus said in Luke 17, verse 3. He said this. If another believer, in this case, in the context here, he's actually talking about believers, but this applies. You know, he's talking about believers who have offended you or sinned against you in some way. And he says this. If another believer sins, rebuke that person. Then, if there is repentance, forgive him. But look at this. Even if that person wrongs you seven times a day, and each time turns again and asks for forgiveness, you must what? Okay, C.S. Lewis once said this. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Oh, it's easy to say, yeah, we need to forgive, but then all of a sudden you're looking at somebody and you got to forgive them. And this is the fourth time today you've done this. No, I'm going to forgive you one more time. After that, I'm holding a grudge. I've got bitterness and I got anger issues. But Jesus made it very clear. Forgiveness is to be a priority, and there's no boundaries on the amount. Now, this is tough. This is not easy. And especially if you get somebody who's repeating and repeating and they're sinning against you and sinning against you. And so what I want to do with this is I want to walk you through some things that forgiveness is not. Because sometimes people think forgiveness is one thing when it's really not. So hopefully this will help you understand what forgiveness is and what it's not. So let's take a look at some things that forgiveness is not. Here we go. Forgiveness is not denying, approving, or diminishing the wrong that was committed against you. You cannot say you were fine, that it was not a big deal, or that since it was the past, you've just moved on. You must be honest about the reality of the wrong done to you. Forgiveness is saying, what you did hurt me. What you did was wrong. But I'm not going to hold it against you anymore. We're not denying what happened. When you're forgiving somebody the sin, you're not washing it away. You're not just putting it underneath the rug. You're not putting it in the closet and shutting the door and acting like it's not there. Forgiveness is not denying, approving, or diminishing the wrong that was committed against you. It is. When you're forgiving someone, you're not saying, well, you know what, I know this is the fourth time, but you can keep doing it because the Bible says I've got to forgive you at least seven times a day. No, you're saying, no, what you're doing is wrong and you need to stop. But I'm not going to hold it against you because I'm going to forgive you. Forgiveness is not ignoring the wrong. See, some people are prone to live as if the world were not filled with depraved people who, you know, have faults and they sin and they get selfish and they cause hurt and they cause pain and they do evil and bad things. And some people simply try to ignore the sin committed against them and think that by ignoring it, they are somehow forgiving it. Pretending like it didn't happen is not forgiveness. Okay? Forgiveness, real forgiveness, acknowledges a sin, a wrong has been committed. Okay? Against you. You're not just turning away thinking, okay, if I don't look, maybe it'll go away. That's not what's happening here. No. Forgiveness is not ignoring the wrong. Forgiveness is not enabling sin either. Even though you are to forgive a person many times, your forgiveness should be given in such a way as to not encourage or enable the person to continue hurting or violating you. Forgiveness is not giving permission for the sin to continue. That's not what forgiveness is. If somebody is sinning against you, it has to stop. Okay? Now, there's ways to encourage that or enforce that, but forgiveness is not enabling the sin. Well, the Bible says I'm supposed to forgive, and he did come, and she did come to me and say, I'm sorry, and that'll never happen again. And I know that they've done it time and time again, but I'm just going to keep forgiving them, you know. And no, there's still going to be some consequences here. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But forgiveness is not enabling the sin. Forgiveness is not forgetting about sin committed against you. It is actually impossible to completely forget such things. You know, when you're forgiving someone, God is not telling you, okay, in your mind, somehow erase it from your memory. So when they bring it up again or somebody else brings it up again, you go, I don't remember that. I mean, unless you really do have amnesia, okay, and you don't, and you were knocked unconscious at that moment and you really don't remember it, okay, that's one thing. But just to say, you know, just to pretend like you don't remember it, say, no, man, I've forgotten all about that. Don't worry about it. And you walk away and on his side, you're going, I'm going to kill that man. You're like, no, that's not, no, that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not forgetting about sin. And I know the Bible talks about how God will remember your sin no more. You know, it's cast into the sea of forgetfulness. Yes, that's true, but it doesn't mean what you think it means. When God remembers your sin no more, it doesn't mean that God doesn't know what you're talking about when you say, I've sinned. Now, what it means is that's a covenant phrase that God is using. And when he says, I will remember your sin no more, what God is telling you is, I will not hold you accountable to that sin anymore. I'll remember it no more. I'm not going to bring it up in your face anymore. I'm not going to say, yo, Jeff, you're praying for Genesis Church? Oh, yeah. Well, you remember that sin 10 years ago that you committed? Well, I'm not going to bless that church and answer that prayer because of that sin 10 years ago. No, God's not going to do that. But some of us do that with people. You know, we go, I'm not going to serve you. I'm not going to be your slave. I'm not going to bless you because of what you did. You remember what you did 10 years ago when you said and you did and you acted that way? Not going to do it. You owe me. You know, we kind of take that mentality. And God says, no, don't hold it against them. Move on. Again, C.S. Lewis is right. Everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. Forgiveness is not denying emotionally or dying emotionally and no longer feeling the pain of the transgression. Rather, forgiveness allows you to feel the appropriate depth of grief regarding that pain. When you forgive someone, you are telling them what you did, what you said, it hurt me. And I don't think it was right. You shouldn't have done that. And it's okay to feel that pain, and it's okay to feel that hurt. But forgiveness is part of the healing process for you, okay? Forgiveness is not a one-time event. Now, I've already mentioned this, but I want to highlight something here. Those who have been sinned against commonly have seasons when they feel afresh the pain of past hurts. What I mean is that you can, 10 years ago, have forgiven someone. And what for whatever reason, I mean, you hadn't really thought much about it. You moved on, they moved on. The relationship still may be there, or they're out of your life now, or whatever. But there's a certain smell that triggers a bitterness towards them. There's a certain place you drive by, and you haven't thought about it, but when you drive by it and you see that location, that building, that house, that place, it triggers the anger all back up. And that bitterness just comes out of nowhere, or that anger, that rage comes out of nowhere, and you begin, and you just can't seem to get away with it. Well, there are those times where the event has moved on, the person has moved on, you have moved on, but there are going to be times where that is going to come back up in your life, and you're going to have to, you don't have to call them up, but you're going to have to take a moment and just say, I forgive you. You're going to have to forgive them that seventh time, and they don't even know that triggered, that place, that smell, that thing, whatever, that emotional trigger clicked on for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so this forgiveness thing, it is a day-by-day-by-day thing. And Satan will try to wear you out to keep that grudge. And God says, forgive. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. We're talking about what forgiveness is not. Forgiveness is not reconciliation. Forgiveness is you forgiving the offender. Repentance is the offender asking for forgiveness and to stop doing the offensive action. Reconciliation is when both forgiveness and repentance meet. Okay? You cannot force anybody to repent. You can't force reconciliation on anyone. But you can walk away free from the situation by just simply forgiving. Does that make sense? And you can pray for and you can hope that someday there will be some kind of reconciliation, and in some cases there never will be. But on your side of the equation, you have placed forgiveness on the table and you're free. Okay? But forgiveness is not reconciliation. It's a part of it. But just because you forgive, it doesn't mean everything's going to be right now. Forgiveness is not neglecting justice. And this is tough. If a crime has been committed against you, a sin has been committed against you, but say the sin is the form of a crime, if a crime has been committed against you, you can forgive the criminal and call the police to arrest him or her at the same time. I forgive you, but I'm calling 911 because you need to go to jail, you know. I think one of the greatest examples of this is probably the thief on the cross. He said, remember me when you go into your paradise. And Jesus said, you know, I'll remember you. And he was basically forgiving him of his sins. But however, the thief on the cross still died that day for his crime. And so when we're offering forgiveness, it doesn't mean that the punishment is no longer valid. Oh, no, no, no. There are times where my children, when they were younger, they lied or they sinned, they disobeyed at such a level that, well, they were punished. And so, you know, we're in the spanking camp, okay? Not abuse camp, but we spanked our children. And I mean, before I would spank them, I would say, now let's talk about what you did. You did this. Do you agree with that? I did that. All right. Do you believe that's wrong? Yeah. Now, let me ask you a question. You're about to be punished. You're going to be spanked. Why are you going to be spanked? Because I lied to you. That's right. I love you. I forgive you. But you're still going to get spanked. And I think one of the misconceptions about forgiveness is that if we forgive somebody, all the consequences should be taken away. But that's not true. You can forgive them, but yet their sin will still have the consequences. You know, and sometimes those consequences are completely out of your hands. And sometimes they're not. Okay? Forgiveness is not neglecting justice. All right, now this brings us to number three. Forgiveness affects your fellowship with your Heavenly Father. And now up to this point, we've been talking about forgiving people. Forgiving others. And that is important because how we forgive others affects our relationship with Him, with our Heavenly Father. Now look at what Mark goes on to say. He says, we are to forgive so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Now, the idea of God's forgiveness toward us being connected with our forgiving others is repeated in God's Word. This is not just one little time He says it. For example, when Jesus was teaching about prayer, He said this in Matthew 6:12. We are to pray, forgive us our sins as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Huh. Then a couple of verses later, Jesus says in Matthew 6:14, if you forgive those who sin against you, your Heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Okay, what's being said here? What's really happening here? Well, to understand what Jesus is saying, you need to know about three types of forgiveness real quick, okay? I know this is a lot of information about forgiveness, but forgiveness is a huge subject, and it is complicated at times. But hopefully this will help you in your journey of understanding what forgiveness is and what it looks like. Okay, three types of forgiveness. First, there is redemptive forgiveness. Redemptive forgiveness. This is the forgiveness you receive at salvation. Okay, this is the forgiveness where you go to God and you say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I can't save myself. I need you to have grace and mercy on me. I need you to be the Lord of my life. Would you forgive me of my sins so I can have a relationship with you and go to heaven and however you worded it. This is redemptive forgiveness. So now, this type of redemptive forgiveness, that's not what Mark is talking about. This is that no strings attached. I'm coming to you. I'm lost. I'm blind. Save me. Put me into your kingdom. I want to be one of your children. Redemptive forgiveness. In Zechariah, he's referred to this redemptive forgiveness when he said this about his son, and he was prophesying over his son. He said, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High because you will prepare the way of the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Deals with salvation. Redemptive forgiveness. Second type of forgiveness is called restorative forgiveness. It's restorative forgiveness. This is forgiveness you receive as a believer when you confess your sin to your Heavenly Father. This is when you are already in the kingdom of God, you're already a follower of Jesus, you're already part of the God's family, you know, you're on your way to heaven, you know, that's not in question here. But as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, you're going to find yourself sinning. You're going to find yourself falling into some temptation. And in 1 John chapter 1:9, talking to believers like you and I, the Bible says this, if we confess our sins to Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all wickedness. So when we sin as a believer, our fellowship with the Heavenly Father is affected, not our relationship. Because here's the deal. My children, when they were born, I had, say, the first one was a son, and so I'm the father. He is now my what? My son. That's not a trick question, okay? He's my son. And so, all right, the relationship is father-son, okay? Now, as he grows, a fellowship is being developed, okay? We're communicating. He's learning to talk. He's learning to listen. You know, we're doing things together, building memories, all that kind of stuff. You know, and so, you know, and as he grows, he decides that, hey, I don't have to do what Dad says all the time. I can do what I want. So he does something that's rebellious, that's disobedient, that's like, you know, Zeke, what were you thinking? You know, and so Zeke, I go to Zeke, Zeke, now look, you lied to me. But here's the deal. When I find out that he's lied to me and he's not owning up to the lie, our relationship hasn't changed. I'm still dad and he's still son. But what has changed? The fellowship. And there's some tension there, some awkwardness. There's a disconnect there because of the sin, the rebellion. Now, you got to pay attention for this Mark statement by Mark and our forgiveness and God's forgiveness is making sense. You've got to understand this. One of the sins that we commit that affects our fellowship with the Heavenly Father is holding a grudge. If you want to receive forgiveness for the sins in your life and you're holding a grudge as a believer, God is saying, you have sinned against me by holding a grudge against these other people. You're going to have to forgive. And God is saying, when you forgive them, that's the act of obedience, that's the act of repentance. When you forgive them, I'll forgive you of that grudge. Does that make sense? That's what's happening here. So if you want to experience complete freedom in in your walk with God, you're going to have to let some of these grudges go. All right, redemptive forgiveness, restorative forgiveness, and then number three, there's relational forgiveness. This is forgiveness that you give and receive from others. And so this relational and restorative forgiveness, those are the two forgivenesses that are being dealt with in Mark, not the redemptive one. Okay, you don't have to forgive everybody before God's going to forgive you so you can get saved and go to heaven. That's not what Mark is saying. What Mark is saying is you need to learn how to forgive others. You need to quit sinning by not forgiving and forgive others so you can experience this daily forgiveness over this grudge issue that you've got. So, as we wrap this up, three questions. Who do you need to forgive? I mean, come on. I guarantee you, over the last 30 minutes or so, however long I've been talking, I guarantee you somebody's name, face, event has come up. Now, you might know them. They may still be in your life. It could have happened this morning. Anybody getting ready with a bunch of kids? It could have happened this morning. It could have happened this week. It could have happened so many years ago, you don't remember the name, you don't really remember the face, but you remember that. God is saying to you right now, forgive. Go ahead. Do it. Don't hold them accountable anymore to you. Free yourself up. Free yourself up. So who do you need to forgive? Second question. Who do you need to ask forgiveness from? Now, I've been talking about really you forgiving, but my guess is the Holy Spirit has probably spoken to some here today, and you're thinking, I'm the one that sinned. I'm the one that caused the pain. I'm the one that caused the hurt. I'm one that created the mess. I need to ask them to forgive me. Maybe you need to do that. The third question is, have you accepted God's forgiveness that He offers you? And here I'm really talking about the redemptive forgiveness, the salvational. If you're not a follower of Jesus, God makes it real clear He is willing and He is ready to forgive you and to accept you into His family. He's ready to forgive all the stuff that you've done. That's pretty cool. That's pretty amazing. We sang about it. It's amazing grace, you know? Well, you need to simply respond in your own heart and mind today with what you're going to do with what you heard today. Now, look, I know you're going to be tempted to go, yeah, but, you know, I just don't have time. Yeah, I'm not ready. No, you're ready. You know, you're more ready than you realize to forgive, okay, or to ask for forgiveness. So let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we want to thank You for Your word today. Lord, it's been heavy, but Lord, it's been good. And Lord, there are times in our life where people hurt us. They offend us. Lord, and sometimes we know them and sometimes we don't. But Lord, help us to have our finger on the trigger of forgiveness, ready to pull it at a moment's notice. Help us to be that person that just walks in grace and mercy and forgiveness. And Lord, help us to also understand this concept of forgiving and what it means and what it doesn't mean. Lord, we want to honor You and we want to honor the people in our life. We want to reflect Your light. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There are some folks here like me and Ben and Chris and Kenzie, and you probably have some folks in your life that are strong Christians that you trust. If you're needing to talk with someone about forgiveness, giving it, receiving it, or just anything about you heard today, we would be glad to sit down with you and have a real conversation with you and just journey with you on your understanding and application of forgiveness, okay? So just catch us, catch us today, call us, send us an email, whatever, and we'll set up a time to get with you. But if it needs to be happen today, well, we'll meet with you today, okay? You are important to us. All right, you glad you came to church today?
Yes.
All right, did you worship God today?
Yes.
All right, you receive from His Word today?
Yes.
You want to do something with it?
Yes.
All right, don't leave.